The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Time to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins. Tony spent 8 seasons in the NFL and now encourages high school kids to believe in their dreams as he tours the country to educate them about the college recruiting process, its sports, guests, and positive words. Now, here is Tony Collins along with co-host Bill Mattis.
Welcome, everyone, to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. I am Touchdown Tony Collins, and today is another great day to be alive. I have my great co-host, Bill Mattis, with me. What's going on, Bill?
What's up, big man?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing okay. If we remember last week, I was very sunburned.
Oh, yeah. And I do remember that.
Yeah, and I had a little bit of a head cold.
I still haven't seen the pictures yet.
Well, you don't want to see the pictures. Anyway, I had a head cold, so now I have a chest cold instead of a head cold.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have a new face. And I have a new face, okay? Yeah. My old face is peeled off. I've gotten rid of it, and now I have a new face. You wouldn't even recognize me.
That's good news. Is that good news or is that bad news?
I look 10 years younger. Let's put it that way.
Oh, great. So I had a good weekend. I was down in Atlanta this past weekend, down at NUC, National Underclassmen Combine. They had about 150 kids, athletes, football players down there. Got a chance to speak to them and their parents, so was a really good outing. I've seen a lot of good football players. We got a lot of good football players in Atlanta. I was down there. I was in, a little town called Marietta. Mm-hmm. And their football stadium, and I'm going to tell you, it's almost like a college stadium, man. It's incredible.
There's some big-time high school football down there.
Yeah, it was Lassiter. I think the name of the high school was Lassiter High School. Incredible high school. Incredible. Football. We got a great show again today. We're going to talk a little bit of football. Of course, we're going to talk some March Madness because that's right around the corner.
On our doorstep.
I was checking out some of the Big East. Pittsburgh is looking pretty good, man.
They're a good team. They're a little young. They've got two freshman starters. Their first game in the tournament won't be till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and, of course, that means I'll be smashed by 12:30. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how they do. It's one of those teams where it's a team. There's not one guy that they depend on. Very rarely do they have more than one player score in double figures. They play 10 players. One guy will usually score in double figures. You never know which one it's going to be. And it's a team effort. And the good thing about that is if you have – a lot of times when teams have star players, if the star player at this level has a night off, you're in big trouble. Mm. But when you're playing 10 guys – and I mean, they play 10 guys. They don't just play a couple guys for 2 minutes here and there. Right. You know, you've got a group effort, and they've got three or four different guys that can score the ball. And, you know, if one's off, you still got the other three. The big problem happens when, you know, all of them happen to be off at one time. But they've beaten some very good teams this year. They've also lost a few games they probably shouldn't have. But they're seeded very highly in the Big East, which is important because they get what's called a double bye. They don't have to play the first night.
Usually the Big East now, they have probably, what, about four or five, maybe six schools that's going to make it to the dance, too?
Oh, I think they have more like seven or eight.
Is it that much?
Yeah, well, Villanova gets in. I think that makes either seven or eight. They've got, you know, I think they have seven teams that are ranked in the top 20. So it's you know, it's going to be a wild tournament. It always is a wild tournament up in Madison Square Garden. And, you know, a lot of times what happens with the Big East is these guys beat the crap out of each other all season. And then when they come into postseason play and they have 12, 13 losses, you know, the little schools that only lose 2 and 3 games, they're like crying because they're saying, well, wait a minute. Well, how can you let a Connecticut or a – and Connecticut can't play this year. But how do you let a St. John's in with 13 wins or 13 losses when we only have 2? Well, guess what? You guys didn't play anybody. And so, you know, meanwhile, each night, every night, in and out, every single Big East game, with maybe the exception of when they played DePaul – is a battle. I mean, it's an absolute battle. And it's been that way for the last, you know, 30 years since the conference has been around. And we're going to talk about how that conference is sort of going away and changing a little bit later.
Now we're going to get Ryan Fannin to come back next week or to talk some more about the March Madness too, right?
Is that, yeah, well, if you think about it, next Wednesday is the day before the games really start. Yeah, there's a couple play-in games that happen either Tuesday night or so. But the first day of full scheduled games, which is to many people, it's like a holiday. You know, they start at like 12:05 on the East Coast, and they don't end until, you know, 1 a.m. in the morning throughout the game. There's 16 games on each day, Friday and Thursday. And I know a lot of people who take the day off. You know, they head to their local Buffalo Wild Wings at noon and you know, they'll go out there and watch every single game. And, you know, if you go to one of those places that has a dish, you can see multiple games at one time. At this point, I think we're only going to be able to see 2 games at one time because I think one of the ESPN or somebody else is carrying it in addition to the regular station. So it should be a lot of fun.
So we also got some football, a lot of football news. Trading started. We got Mike Wallace going to the Miami Dolphins. That was kind of surprising to see that happen and him getting away from Pittsburgh like that.
Well, you know, this comes back to what we've been talking about the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think what's happening, maybe there's some sanity that's finally setting in a little bit with some of these teams. You know, not only did the Steelers have to let Wallace go, but they also let Harrison go.
Right.
I mean, they're cutting big contracts now because they just can't afford these guys. And in Philadelphia, the same things happen. Nnamdi Asamoah, who was supposed to be the big savior, he's gone. They just cut him. I mean, they're paying him $4 million to get rid of him so they don't have to pay him the rest of the money. And
I think he was supposed to get $15 million or $5 million this year or something like that.
Ridiculous. It's a ridiculous sum of money. You know, and we were talking about the Flacco contract last week, and I'm wondering, because I haven't really seen the details of the Flacco contract and see how much of that money is guaranteed. Uh-huh. But, you know, that's what happens here. You know, they talk about these $100 million contracts. Michael Vick had a $100 million contract. He only saw $50 million of it. Now, I say only, but still, you know, they're getting to the point where they sign these contracts, and then they're like, what were we thinking? And they cut these guys. And Anquan Boldin got traded out to San Francisco for the same reason.
I think that's a great move for him though, man. Going out to San Francisco, he can finish up his career right there, and they got an excellent chance of getting back to the Super Bowl again with that team they have. So I mean, I think it's a win-win situation for Anquan. No question about it. Tony Gonzalez is coming back. Can you believe that?
You know what? I saw the interview with him right after the playoff game that they got beat. And, you know, he was dejected and he was hanging in there and trying to hold to his promise that he was going to be retiring. But, you know, you have a year like that and just walk away?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, I don't know how you could do that. I mean, I know he's older and all that, but, you know, at some point – you still, if you have the ability to play, you want to come back and you want to keep playing until you really have to, you know, hang it up.
So is it like 17 years or something right now? I think it's 17, right?
No, say that again.
17 years.
I mean, he's still got it, though. He was still a dominant player in the league. And, you know, it's something where I just can't see a guy like that walking away. It doesn't happen that often. It does happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
And we got the draft coming up. Any big surprises you think we might be seeing in the draft? Or
well, before you get to the draft, you know, I want to talk about Revis. Darrell Revis
yeah.
is another really good example of what's happening in the NFL. Okay, a couple years ago, a Darrell Revis hits the market like a Nnamdi Asamoah did. Okay, mm-hmm. he would command over $10 million a year. And now he hasn't really hit the market. He has to be acquired via a trade. But still, you know, here's a player that's considered one of the tops at his position. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's going to get a mega contract like other players have gotten in the past year. I think some teams have figured out that they just kind of got to reel it back a little bit. The Eagles signed five guys yesterday. Okay, none of them, not one of them, was a big name. You know, they're going more for depth and backups mm-hmm. and guys that can play special teams and guys that aren't going to cost them more than $1 million or $2 million a year, and they're only signing them to 2-year contracts. These are guys that are not necessarily on the top of everybody's free agent list, and I think that's the way to go. I mean, you've already got a team that's got tons and tons of superstars on it in the Eagles, but they needed the role player types. They needed the guys to fill in the holes and to provide backup abilities to different positions. And I think, you know, the Eagles may be doing something here. Maybe they're doing something right.
So no way Eagles go after Revis then, huh?
You know, supposedly the newspapers are saying that they've made some inquiries. You know, he's good friends with McCoy because they both played at Pitt together. And I'm sure LeSean is stating that they need him. But they're going to have to do something in the defensive secondary. I think they're just gun-shy. I mean, after you spend all that money on Nnamdi and Rodgers Cromartie, I mean, between them, they spend like $20 million or something like that. And, you know, you do that, and then the guys suck, and it's like, how can we do that again? I mean, Nnamdi was bad. I mean, he was really bad. I'm sorry. He was just terrible. And I don't know what the reasoning was, but, you know, he just was awful, and it was possibly the worst money that was spent in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, when he was playing, he was playing with the Raiders at first, right?
Yeah, he played for the Raiders for like 3 years.
Raiders, man, he was all over the field. I don't know what happened.
Well, you know what? It seems like sometimes with defensive backs that they get this reputation that, you know, you can't throw at them, so nobody throws at them. Well, when he got to Philadelphia, man, they were throwing at him, and he couldn't cover anybody. He couldn't cover my mom. I mean, that's how bad it got. And my mom's quick. Let's give her a props. She is quick, and she does run a good route. But still, you know, Nnamdi. He just seemed lost in the whole system, and it was unfortunate because, you know, the guy's a great guy off the field. He won the award this year for the NFL for doing stuff in the community and things, and he's a great guy, really nice guy. You just
got through saying the guy can't even cover
– Well, he can be a nice guy, and he can't cover
your mom, and now you're saying he's a great guy.
I'm trying to – if I ever run into him, if I ever run into him, I can still say, well, I said you were a good guy.
You're a great guy, but you can't cover my mom. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the draft and a little bit more football and some March Madness coming up again. We'll be back in a minute.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
have we got a show for you. It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's Tony Collins at allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. NFL draft right around the corner, Bill. Come on, talk to me. Let me know what you think about what's going to be happening. First of all, we had a discussion maybe a couple weeks ago about players, you know, dropping out of school and making it to the NFL. And I totally agree with you on parts of what you're saying about they got to go get that money. They can come back and get their degree and everything like that. And that's great. But what I want to talk about today with the drafts is there anybody that you know that's in this draft this year that maybe going to be drafted in a lower round, seven, maybe sixth round, that's going to come out and be gangbusters like somebody always does?
Honestly, I don't. I mean, I'd love to sit there and rattle off about 16 names, but I haven't had the time to really go too deep into what's happening draft-wise. But you know what happens is a lot of times there are players who, when you use the term student-athlete, doesn't necessarily apply completely. And they get to be juniors, and they just don't want to go to school anymore for whatever reason. They're having trouble in class. Maybe they have some bad influences around them, and they're like, you know, screw it, I'm going, you know. And it's almost in that situation, if the alternative is failing out of school, well, then maybe it's not a bad idea to take a chance and do it. But, you know, when I made that statement about guys that, you know, I had no problem with, you know, players going to the pros early if they are guaranteed draft picks, which means that when they are guaranteed draft picks, they get guaranteed money. And, you know, then if they fail, yes, go back, get your degree, and go back into the public society as a regular person and do what you got to do. But, you know, when you have three, four, five, and sometimes more millions of dollars on the table, you know, to walk away from that because – or to delay that even a year or two sometimes can be a big mistake. You know, we talked about the kid from – was it North Carolina or it was Kentucky, I think. Yeah. You know, if he was allowed to go last year as a high school senior, he would have been a lottery pick. He probably would have been top three, maybe top five. And he would have probably already been cashing checks that would have been in the, you know, $5 to $10 million range. And instead, he ripped up his knee, and he's missing half the season. And now he has to make a decision whether he can go next year because, you know, he's eligible to go. But what does he do? If he goes next year, does he get drafted in the first round? Maybe not because of his knee. And now, because the NCAA and the NBA have told him he wasn't allowed to go as a senior in high school, he's now screwed. And you know, that's one of the exceptions that happen. I realize that's not the way that it always happens. But what's the point of one and done?
Right.
Let me ask you that. I mean, why does it have to be one and done? I mean, I could see three and done. You know, if you're going to force them to go to school, make them go for 3 years.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, especially on the basketball one, because, you know, going 1 year is – I mean, why wouldn't you if you just only have to go 1 year of school? Why wouldn't you go and get that money? But now you're going 3 years, you know, now you're so close to of graduating. So it's totally different from football and basketball, too. So that's the crazy
part. Well, football makes you stick around for 3 years after you graduate high school. Now you can go to a prep school or be redshirted and go after your sophomore year after you've played 2 years after sitting out 1 year. So that's LeSean McCoy did that. Most times you have to be a junior to be eligible. And having played 3 years, then you go. So they do a three and done type of thing. But I don't know. It's the United States. It's America. It's a democracy. You're supposed to be able to do whatever you want. Who are they to tell people?
You know you can't do whatever you want.
Wait a second.
Okay, you live in America.
No. But see, as an employer, if I want to hire somebody that's an 11th grader and pay them $16 million, I'm allowed to do that. And they're allowed to come work for me. So why is the NBA and the NCAA allowed to tell people that they can't do that? It's an infringement of their rights is what it comes down to. And they're, you know, I think it's kind of like a collusion type of thing. And I bet if that kid from Kentucky went to court and sued them over this whole rule, I bet he wins.
Yeah, probably so. Now, hey, let's talk basketball.
You wanted to talk about the draft some more, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, that the draft thing, you know.
We've only got so many things to talk about, and you're ripping right through them here, and we're only on segment two. All right? So let's use our head here, will you?
You don't need to talk about draft. I want to talk about the Miami Heat, man.
Oh, the Heat. Okay, you know, let's scroll down on your list there, and it says NBA, Bill doesn't care at all. Blech. Okay.
Whatever, man.
NBA. I hate the NBA. You really like the NBA?
That's great. It's great basketball. What are you talking about?
Oh man, I don't know. Back in the day when it was a lot less teams and it was, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics playing against each other and the Knicks always playing the Sixers and the teams were always good. Yeah, you know, you got so many crappy teams in the league.
Look at the new guys. You got the Thunder now playing good basketball. You even got the Celtics without Rondo. They're still playing. They're still winning. I mean, come on, the Lakers are look like they're going to get into the playoffs. You never know what can happen once the Lakers get in the playoffs. What big man had 39 points last night. He went back to Orlando, went back to his old team, and Dwight Howard just tore it up last night. So basketball is fun, man, in the NBA. What are you talking about?
You know what? I actually will watch the playoffs. It's much like hockey, you know. But during the regular season, if somebody says to me there's a big NBA game coming on, I'm like, that's okay. I'll watch a movie. You know, so I just really don't get into it. Now, the college stuff,
Tell me the difference between college basketball in the NBA. Tell me your difference.
I think the thing that attracts me to the college game more is that you got guys that are basically amateurs. I mean, yes, they're getting scholarships, but they're amateurs playing for their school. And, you know, there's tradition in there. There's history. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, these are kids that are playing. They're not 30-year-old guys that are amazing. They're kids that are, you know, human type of players battling each and every night, trying to get their school to the top.
Human type of players. Okay.
Well, because let's face it, the guys in the NBA are fantastic athletes. They're almost non-human how their bodies are built and their training. I mean, they are, in my opinion, besides maybe some soccer players somewhere, they are the best athletes, I think, out of every sport because of the way that they can, you know, continuously run up and down the court, their jumping ability, the size of these guys. My goodness. I mean, it's unbelievable.
They're better athletes than football players?
Absolutely.
Come on, man.
For the game that they play, I think they are. I really think NBA players are better athletes than NFL football players.
You got to run, jump, dodge.
Yeah, you also got big linemen that are 300 pounds or 340 pounds playing defensive tackle. Okay, I mean, I understand. I'm not trying to say that NFL players are not good athletes. I'm just saying that I think NBA athletes are the best of all. And I would say some European soccer players, I put them in that category too, just because they just keep running around. Running around like idiots. I can't stand soccer either, so that's fine.
Okay, so we're not going to talk NBA no more. How about the Blackhawks? Did I put the jinx on them or what last week?
I called the Blackhawks that night and told them that you said they were so good, they were never going to lose a game ever, and then bam. Right off the bat, lost the game.
Oh, well.
But
it happens.
That was an incredible streak. You know, in Philadelphia, I don't even think half the Philly fans realized it, but the team that holds the streak of unbeaten games is the Flyers. And it was like 35 games over two seasons, and they didn't lose for 35 games, I think it was. And I think Chicago got to, what, 25, something like that? Yeah. And, you know, I think the Flyers players, who I saw quoted, like Bobby Clark and Bill Barber, they were saying, hey, you know what, I have no ill will towards the Hawks. I hope that they do great. I think they're doing a great job. And if they break the record, so be it. So that was kind of cool. Back to the draft for 1 second.
Okay, right? let's go back to the draft.
There's going to be some wacky stuff going on. You know, in the past few years, it's been like a group of three or four players that everybody's going, okay, it's going to be this guy, that guy, and this guy. And it's going to go in some sort of – nobody knows what's going to happen this year. And there's some teams up top that if they were to make a trade or two could really throw a monkey wrench into a lot of teams' plans. So you might see some guys picked that have no right being picked that high in the first round or second round because these teams are just – concerned that their guy's not going to be there when it comes to be their pick and right. The next time around. And the Eagles are one of those teams. I hate to keep coming back to Philadelphia, but that's who I know best. They're sitting in the four hole right now, and they've got so many holes to fill. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded down.
Who do you think they're going to go after? What position?
Well, the positions that they need are not typically positions you see picked with the fourth pick in the draft. They need offensive linemen. That's one obvious place that they need. I think they could use another defensive lineman or two. And of course, cornerbacks. I mean, do you really want to take a corner with the fourth pick overall? There's a guy out there named Milner from Alabama who I think if they make their pick, they may take him. And I just wonder if it's better to trade down and get like a first round next year and then another first round this year and then a second rounder, something, you know, some sort of package of picks where you can trade down and get the second or third best corner that's out there and the drop off is not that far. And then you get all these other picks and you can get yourself an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman.
And I think that's what they need drastically is an offensive lineman. I mean, Vic and all the quarterbacks last year, they were running for their lives back there for with the Eagles, man. It's crazy.
Well, remember, they lost three guys to injury, and there were three really good offensive linemen that went down in preseason and the first week of the season. And so all of a sudden, you got three guys who were penciled in to just, you know, carry water buckets and help clean up the locker room. Now they're starting offensive linemen in the NFL, and they got stuck because at that stage of the game, it's not easy to go out and just find an offensive lineman who's really good. You know, you're stuck. You got to play the guys that you went to camp with, and you know, your depth is then tested. And that's why I said before, when they're signing these free agents, they're talking to guys that are helping their depth and they're increasing their depth ability. But yeah, I think ultimately the best move for the Eagles would be to move down, get a bunch of picks in exchange for that top. But you know, you got one team out there maybe that just needs one guy. You know, or like the Niners or the Ravens or somebody who thinks they're only like one player away. So you get four picks from them in exchange for that one. They're happy because they don't need four guys. They need one.
Right.
That's what they got. They got to find a trading partner that fits like that.
Yeah, that should be very interesting to see what they're going to do. I mean, I was almost surprised that they even kept Michael. I was thinking with the new coach, they were going to go in a different way, but I guess he likes Michael and he's going to go with him that way. I think it'll be a good fit for both of them, though.
Well, they got stuck.
Would you say they got stuck?
They got stuck because they got stuck picking a coach that didn't fit the incumbent quarterback, the young kid. You know, he Foles is not a quarterback that fits Chip Kelly's offense. I mean, he really doesn't. And now what do you do? You're like, what do I do now? So Michael Vick technically fits Kelly's spot better. Then they brought in Dennis Dixon, who has played for Kelly in the past. I think you're going to see them pick up a quarterback in the draft at some point that's sort of like that mold. And I think Foles is probably the odd man out all of a sudden. He was the golden boy halfway through the season, and now he's the odd man out. When we come back, I do want to talk more about the college basketball stuff that's happening.
All right, let's do that. We'll be back in a minute.
your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's Tony Collins at allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back.
We're back.
March Madness. March Madness. March Madness. Hey, before we get to March Madness, I was watching women's basketball. I think it was the last night or the night before last. I can't remember. Notre Dame beating UConn. Notre Dame's got a good team, man. They play very well.
You know, it's happening in the women's basketball that like a lot of these other teams are starting to grow up to the point where their programs are getting so good that, you know, there's a lot of parity out there. For years and years, it was UConn that just dominated everybody. Occasionally Notre Dame, occasionally Tennessee, of course, has a great tradition in women's college basketball, Pat Summit. But, you know, the Baylor teams of late with the one girl, is her name Griner? I can't remember her name.
Right, she dunks all the time. Now, you can't forget Stanford, too. They're always in the
– Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some programs out there that are always great. But now what's happening is some of the ones that you don't normally hear from, they're there, too. Yeah, it's good.
So if you were to pick a team, and don't even say Pittsburgh right now. You can't even say Pittsburgh.
You're gonna tell me what I can say and what I can't.
Right,
say.
Right. But you can't say Pittsburgh. If you were to pick a team right now, somebody would ask you, because I know you're gonna say Pittsburgh because that's who you want to win. That's gonna win it all this year in the tournament. Who would you pick?
Well, I think the easy choice that I could take would probably be Duke. I'm not going to say Gonzaga because I don't believe that they're as good as people are giving them credit. I think they're one of those situations where they just haven't played the tough schedule that some of the other leagues have played. And something about Duke, though, that I just don't like. I think they're going to be a Final Four team or could be. But, you know, maybe because I'm biased, I'm going to go back to the Big East. And I'm going to say that Louisville is the team that's not on everybody's list to win it that I'm going to take. I think Louisville's the one. Now, that could all change next Monday night when the brackets come out.
Right.
Because I think a lot of it comes down to who they have to run into and where they have to play them. I mean, you know, if they wind up having to play a Carolina team down in Greensboro, well, maybe they won't get to the Final Four and win it all. You know, so I have to wait to see what the brackets say, but if I had to pick a team right this second, I would say Louisville would be the one. I think Duke would be another, and you know, those are the first two teams that come to my mind.
I'm still, man. I know Syracuse was like a really up and down season this year. I still believe that Syracuse has one of the best athletic teams out there right now. But you got to look at Georgetown too. I like Georgetown. I mean, I think they've only lost what, 3 or 4 games this year. But you know, those the Big East teams. I think there's going to be a team coming out of the Big East that'll win it all.
It won't be
Pittsburgh.
Well, it could be Pittsburgh. So watch it. Syracuse, because of their record, wound up in the second four. You know, the top four got like a double bye, and the next four down got a single bye. So they play today at 2:30 against Seton Hall. So that'll be easy. And then they play on Thursday. I think it's going to be against Pittsburgh. So we'll find out real quick whether Pittsburgh's going to have a shot. Because you're right. Syracuse, despite their record, is a much better team than most people think. And this time of year, Boeheim always has these guys ready to go. And they're always a tough out in the tournament. You were talking about Georgetown. I'm not a Georgetown fan. I saw Villanova beat the crap out of them the other day, and Georgetown just looked awful. And I know they're a better team than probably what I'm giving them credit for, because to have that kind of record in the Big East like they did, you can't just do that by accident. And so, but I've seen them a couple times. I saw Pitt play them and beat them. I saw Villanova play them and beat them, and I'm just not real impressed with Georgetown. But yeah, Syracuse, Louisville, Marquette. Those are teams that this time of year in the tournament they've always got good guard play, and that's what everybody says. You got to have good guard play in the tournament. They're deep, so that they can play multiple games in a weekend and not really get tired. And they've been there before, so those three teams are definitely teams that I would consider legitimate contenders. And Pittsburgh.
Now what about Miami? I think this is the first time I've ever seen Miami play as well as they've ever played in I don't know how many years. You think of Miami, you always think of football, but now Miami I think has an awesome team. They actually knocked Duke off this year too. So I know Duke came back and beat them the second time, but Miami.
Well, they beat Duke by 30 the first time they played them. I mean,
they beat them that much.
Yeah, they took them to the woodshed. Back when Miami was in the Big East, and a guy named Leonard Hamilton was their coach. I'm not sure where Hamilton's at right now. He might be at Florida State or someplace. But they had a couple pretty good teams back then. But, yeah, you're right. Predominantly over the years, they've always been a football team. But they are very good this year. And they're like one of the popular picks for people to try and throw out there. But I don't know. I mean, they've never been there before. There's a lot of that comes to play when it comes to the tournament. You know, you're one and done. And it doesn't matter whether you're playing a 12 seed or if you're playing a 4 seed, you could get beat any night along the way. That's why it's so hard. You got to win 7 in a row, I think it is, to get to the national championship. You know, you don't have an ability to take an off night. And, when it gets down to the Sweet 16, this is what we were talking about with Ryan last week. You can take 16 teams this year, put them into a hat, shake them up, pull a name out, and that team has just as good a chance as anybody else to win the whole thing. And it's going to come down to who's hot, who gets a better track to the championship, and who's got the best coaching and most experience. And that's where I think Miami comes a little short. I think their experience in the game is just a little short.
Yeah, and it's probably, they're not going to be a number one seed either. So you never know where they're going to be seeded at, but they should do. I think I'm not saying they're going to make it to the Sweet 16, but I think they have a good chance.
Well, they only have to win. They only have to win 2 games to get to the Sweet 16, so I think they can. Beyond that, that's where I question. I don't know if they get to the Elite Eight or to the Final Four. I think they get to the Sweet 16, but beyond that, I think it's going to be tough for them. But that's just my opinion. You know who I want to talk about for 1 second? And you mentioned them a second ago when they were talking about the girls' basketball team, is Notre Dame. And you know my love for the Notre Dame program.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ACC just announced that Notre Dame's coming to the ACC. All right?
Right.
They're leaving the Big East for how they're in the Big East for everything but football. I can't tell you how much that bothers me. But anyway, they're leaving the Big East a year early, so I'm assuming that they're paying a buyout clause for that. Well, now they're going to the ACC, and they're going to be in every sport except for
football.
And then there's one other sport, too, I think. I can't remember what it was. But why would the ACC do that? You know, why is Notre Dame so special that they have to, you know, be their own independent in football? You know, if I'm the ACC, I'm like, look, you're either in or you're out. What are you going to do? If every conference would stand up and say, this is how we're handling it. Do you want to be an all-in member or do you not? You know, instead, they cow down to these guys and give them what they want. And, of course, Notre Dame
With Notre Dame, it's got to be a money thing. Because
They have
a contract with, what, NBC or something, right?
Yeah, it's a TV contract. I understand that. Well, guess what? Maybe they should try to bargain it off with the ACC and make a bigger contract for everybody. And Notre Dame still gets their money, but they play in the ACC. It just bothers me that they want to be in somebody else's conference, but they don't want to be in there for football because they're too good. Jerks. Did I say that out loud?
Leave Notre Dame alone, man. Tell me.
I'm glad they lost to Alabama.
What's going to be the small, wacky school that's going to make it to the Sweet 16 and maybe the Elite Eight?
I don't know who's going to make it to the Elite Eight, but I'll tell you what, there's some really cool names that are coming in. Already, guys with automatic bids. Ready for this? Belmont, we've heard them before. Creighton is very good. Creighton might be one that you may want to look out for. There might be a sleeper. Davidson, Florida Gulf Coast.
Isn't there a team in there with a losing record?
I think you can start for Florida Gulf Coast. I'm not sure.
Isn't there a team with a losing
record? Yeah, there is. I can't remember who it is. Liberty?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Liberty has a losing record or something, or they have the most losses of anybody's for the – but there's some good teams that are coming out of these small conferences that could win a game. James Madison could win a game. Western Kentucky could win a game. Valparaiso is always a tough out. And, of course, Gonzaga, who's number one right now, is coming out of a small conference. But it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. Next Wednesday when we're on the air, I'm probably just going to explode with excitement. I may even do the show naked next week. Just because I'm so excited for the March Madness.
Well, why would you want to do the show naked, though?
Because I am just more exuberant about everything. It'd just be unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. You're incredible, man. Now, are we going to get a little pool together, something together or something? What's going on?
We are. When we come back from this next break, I'll tell you all about it.
All right. We'll be back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program, or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's Tony Collins at allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. All right, Bill, tell us how we're going to do our pool for March Madness, man.
All right.
Talk to me.
So here's what we're going to do. Everybody's going to tune in to the Sports Talk, Tony Collins Facebook page, and all our other different places that we promote the show, and we're going to have a link. It's very simple. You click the link. It takes you to Yahoo. Okay? You sign up. If you don't already have a Yahoo account, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. It's nothing like, you know, they're going to come after you and send you all kinds of emails and stuff. You sign up, excuse me, and you'll put in the group name or the group ID, and it'll take you to the bracket. Okay? And you just click. I mean, you don't even have to type anything. All you do is you click the choices, and it takes you through the entire bracket. And when you get a first-round game right, I think you get 1 point. If you get a second-round game point, you get 2 points. Then you get a third-round game, you get 4, and then 8, and then 16. If you pick the winner, you get 32 points for the winner. And it keeps track for you. That's the best part, because that may me and Corinne don't have to keep score. But, you know, it keeps track for everybody, and we'll have updates on the show and on the website of what happened after the first day. We tried to throw this thing together last year for the All-Star Rank thing, and I think we got like 8 people in it, and it really sucked. Kind of sucked. But,
okay, but we're not going to keep score, but they're going to do it themselves. But what's the prize?
Well, the Yahoo people are keeping score for us, and we'll go ahead and promote that. Well, as far as the prize is concerned, we'll announce that next Wednesday. I don't want to spoil it. Plus, I don't have it yet.
So when is the earliest we can go?
Who's that voice, by the way?
It was me. It's Corinne. Hi, everyone.
Well, you know, we go 56 minutes into the show, and all of a sudden she shows
up.
Hi,
Tony. Well, I've always been here. I'm like, you know, Roz from Frasier. I'm always here.
Yeah. Wow. Wait. I need to go back. Now, Bill, tell me. I want to be clear on this. How early can I do this? When is the earliest I can go online
We can actually sign up the league right now, and that's what we're going to do in the next 48 hours. We'll create the league. Okay. And then people can sign into the league and create their own little entry. But they won't be able to pick their teams until the brackets mate. And that's not going to happen until, I think it's Sunday night. Once Sunday night, the brackets come out. You'll have all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. And then the games start on Thursday. So I'm pretty sure between those 3 days, everybody can get it done. And I'd like to get like 50 or 60 or 80 people into this thing instead of 7. You know?
Okay.
So I think it could be a lot of fun. My family and I have been doing this for 25 years, I think, something like that. Back to like 1985, we've been doing our own bracket challenge type thing, and you know, it's a lot of fun, and it really brings everybody together, and it makes the games even more meaningful than they already are. All of a sudden, people are interested in whether Davidson beats Gonzaga. Who could care, you know, before that? But if you have Davidson going to the Final 16 – and they're almost making this big upset, well, it means more to you because you got them in your bracket.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. That'll be my first time doing one of those.
I think you should take East Carolina to win it all.
They got to make it to the dance first.
I think they're out, aren't they? Did they already have the tournament yet or no?
I think they're doing they're starting their tournament this weekend too.
Nice. What conference are they in? Conference USA?
Conference USA with the Memphis.
They have a good tournament. Have you ever gone to it?
No, I've never gone to it.
I'm telling you, man, it's the best. You got to go next year. I'll go with you.
Conference USA tournament is one of the best.
Oh, no, next year you're going to go to whatever the Big East is calling themselves because they moved up. But is it next year that they go to the Big East?
It's going to be called still the Big East, right?
Oh, no, the Catholic 7.
Are they not going to call it the Big East anymore?
No, yeah. You're going to be in the America 12. Congratulations. You get to be in the America 12. The Big East is going to be the Villanova, Georgetown, Marquette contingent, you know, St. John's and those guys. But everybody else, like you and Temple and for the time being, I think Connecticut, you know, there's all those teams that went to that conference are now going to be called like the America 12.
Okay, so it's
TCU's in there.
So it's no longer called the Big East.
No, there still is a Big East. Sorry.
The basketball schools that started the Big East way back in the day, because it started as just a basketball conference at one point. And then they had other sports, but not football. They're taking the name with them because they were owners of the name back when it first started.
Oh, so they're taking the name.
That is right. Hey, have you played golf yet this year?
You know what? It's getting warm out. It's getting warm outside, man. I was thinking about going out in a couple of days.
Johnny Gates was trying to drag me out there yesterday, and it was rainy and like 44 degrees. Philly? Yeah, it was rainy and 44 degrees. I'm like, I am not going to go out there and be miserable.
That's too cold.
He played. I didn't.
Yeah, we got to get out there, especially with we got Tiger winning this past weekend. So that was good. Tiger's back doing his thing again. So I'm going to get out on the golf course, man. And I'm going to beat you this year, cuz I know you beat me last year, but I'm going to put a whooping on you this year, Bill Mattis. You hear me?
Tell everybody when your tournament is. We haven't talked about that enough, cuz you need to get more people out to your tournament.
July 11th this year in Penn, New York. Come on out. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a whole bunch of former NFL players are going to be there. Coming in on the 12th, we have a memorabilia. Bill will be there. Corinne is usually there as well. We have a great time and a fantastic outing and raise a little money for autism and a few other different charities in the area.
Is it at the same golf course?
Same golf course.
It's a nice little course. I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't too hard. You know, it wasn't like it's some major difficulty course. And I think everybody that played in it really had a good time. And, you know, I'll tell you people out there, it's the town itself is a really great town. I mean, they've got very nice people. I mean, there's just no – almost everywhere you go, you run into somebody that's kind of a jerk. But up there, it seemed like everybody was pretty cool. If I could just get cell phone service, I may even move there. But
that's the big problem. So,
cell phone service.
So far out in the country, man.
I got to bring my own tower with me from now on.
I was the tower last year, if I recall.
You're a tower of power, Corinne.
That's true, but I had service on my phone. Corinne? Pardon me?
Are you coming again this year?
Of course, I wouldn't miss it.
All right.
I'm going to hang out.
Make her play golf.
I can play. I have my own club. And, Joe, I actually was thinking of broadcasting the show live from Lloyd's.
Well, that's a possibility. We talked about maybe also recording some play-by-play of me and Tony doing like a one-hole playoff. Was it the 9th hole or the 18th hole? It's that little par 3 right by
I thought it was the 19th hole.
19th hole?
18th hole. Well, we'll do the 19th hole afterwards.
That's great.
The 19th hole. The 19-hole is the bar.
I get that, Tony.
Yeah, that's what she was referring to.
That's what I meant.
We'll have something special from there if we're still on the air at that point.
You think?
We'll be on the air. Oh, we're going to be on the air. We are going to be on the air. I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm. I think we will. I think we do well, man. I mean, we got a good little show here. We just got to get people to listen.
Yes. That's right. We have the greatest radio show in the world. We just don't have anybody to listen, and we don't have any sponsors. But other than that, it's fantastic.
But some of the greatest TV shows that ever existed were the ones that people didn't watch, and then they went into syndication, and boom, they were cult classics.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get us
Star
into syndication.
Trek. Look at Star Trek.
Right, that's what I really want. I want to be a cult classic. How about you, Tom?
Yeah.
Well, we're huge in Penyan. I know
that. Me too.
Yeah, we're huge somewhere.
All right, Tony, you have anything inspirational for me today? You got
really
22
don't.
Seconds.
There's nothing you can't think of anything I can.
I can always think of something.
You How about what? Let's go Pitt?
Yeah,
no,
let's go.
Villanova Wildcats all the way, man.
Villanova and Pitt will not make it to the Sweet 16. That's my guarantee.
Oh, cut me.
For this year.
Get us out of here, will you?
They won't make it. They won't make it. God bless everybody, man. Have a great day. You make your day by the way you think.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Tune in to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Have an encouraging week. Tony and Bill will be back next week for more.